Okay, welcome to another episode of the Women's and Girls Coach Development Podcast. I'm delighted today to have with me Kim Stenning, who is currently head manager of Crawley Wasps, and Charlotte Young, who is under 16 coach for Brighton RTC. Ladies, thank you for joining me this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good. Right. So the reason we're having you on is both of you were on the UEFA A license course last year, of which I was a tutor part of that course and had the pleasure of working with you. And what we wanted to do really for this episode of the podcast was give those female coaches that are aspiring to be A license coaches in the future a little bit of an insight into your journeys, but also your experiences as a woman on the UEFA A and maybe previous courses that you've been involved in, and then look at the impact that the course has had with you over the last sort of 18 months coaching. And obviously now, Kim, with you being in a senior position within the National League in the third tier of women's football, and Charlotte at Brighton, where you have a huge impact on the young players coming through to play first team football at Brighton under Hope. And it'd be great to just share your experiences today. So, right, let's start. Kim, just tell us a little bit about your playing and coaching career. Where did it start?
So, playing career, it's probably started when I was about 5 years old. I think with my background, my family, no one likes football. So it was a bit of a weird one. Yeah. So I remember being at my nan's and she just saw something in the Friday ad. That's how old school it was, about a football team that's just starting, and it was an all boys team. And that's where it went, where it started really, just went along. They chucked me up at front and I scored two goals. And I kind of stayed with that boys team probably till I was about under 12s ish. And that's when I started to go into the more Centre of Excellence when it was back then, and we went to Southampton Centre of Excellence when we were coached by Sue Lopez back in the day, and we stayed there until probably reserves and went into first team probably at 16 17, and then I went to America for 2 years and played over there with a scholarship with Virginia, which was really, really good, really eye-opening at that age. And then when I came back, I started playing for Brighton, and I was at Brighton probably 6 years, good 6 years. I then went to Millwall and tried out for the WSL when it first started, stayed there for a season, and then went back to Brighton for the next 2 years. And I think it started to end my career more, went to Lewis and then went to Moneyfields and Chichester. And I think that's when I started to look at my coaching career a bit more, where I was quite lucky. I kind of coached and played at the same time. So I looked at different areas like universities, like when they had games on a Wednesday, and I was doing my level two and my B license, because I did the old B license where you used to go for 2 weeks and then on the weekends you used to do your assessments. Okay. And at the time I was still playing at Millwall. And I remember the day when I had my assessment, and we were meant to play Sunderland Durham away, I think it was, and I had to stay and do my assessment. So that was probably the turning point of what I wanted to do, whether I want to play or coach, and it started to then clash a little bit. So I think with my coaching career, I had so much joy just developing people, working with people, and I've started to enjoy it more than the playing side. And I think now I've stopped playing for probably 2 years now, and really progressed and looking at full-time at coaching side of things. And that's probably my journey so far. Obviously, I'm quite new within the management area and taking on a head role. So,
okay. Well, let's, obviously we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the coaches that you played under and what maybe you've learned from them and inspired you. But Charlotte, let's hear a little bit about you. But first of all, how's the knee? For those that obviously won't know, you're laid up with an ACL injury currently.
Yeah, I think I probably should have taken the advice of Kim a couple of years back and stopped playing, because I wouldn't be sat here wrestling with an ACL injury if I was. Knee's okay. I'm kind of 7 weeks post-op.
Right.
It's this fun injury to have to say. It's a very difficult one to rehab from, and it's a lengthy one. But yeah, looking forward to more of the research with ACL injuries and women's football as that happens. An interesting topic. But me and Kim actually played quite a bit when we were younger together. So I was very much the kind of kid running around the outside of her brother's football sessions and nagging the mum to kind of take me to sessions as well. And there wasn't a lot of girls teams back then, so, and didn't join a girls team until I was the second year of under 16s. There wasn't a lot of football. I grew up in Dorset, and it was kind of, there wasn't the academies and the kind of London setup that was around. It wasn't until I was kind of 17, 18 that I moved to Southampton, which is when me and Kim kind of first met and played together. And then I kind of progressed through various teams. I moved to Reading, and it was in the kind of Premier League, which was when it was kind of split into the top Premier League and then the North and South League. And I played in there for quite a while and moved, got promoted with Fulham into the Premier League. And that was kind of really when I played most of my football in that kind of those two kind of league and progressed and did a lot of education around the background and kind of juggled both of playing and moved into kind of more coaching as the kind of years went on, and you got opportunities in the summer to coach in America and did my level one and level two alongside it, very much as kind of like, you know, to have another branch and on in terms of what you're doing in your life and stuff. And then when I moved to Brighton and played for Brighton, I did my B license, but again, like him, kind of did the B license along full time. I actually had to take unpaid leave to do my B license in Sussex just because of the timing of when the B license was, and it was the only one that was a weekend. And I think at the time I was playing spring series in the WSL for Brighton, so there was a lot going on. And then as the kind of years have gone and I've moved away more from playing, I still play obviously, but I'm in kind of tier five of football now, and I'll do coaching at Brighton 3 or 4 days a week alongside full-time work. And then if I can get a game in on a Sunday, I pretty much always sign myself up to play if there's a game. So, and then, yeah, moved on from B license, obviously, into A license journey. It's kind of 2 years. We finished just before that kind of COVID break time, really, yeah. Just to get it in and finished.
So before we move on to sort of like talking specifically about your journey within UEFA for A license, what would you say, or who would you say has been coaches that have maybe helped you along your way that sort of inspired you to take this journey into the coaching world? Charlotte?
I'd probably say really early influences, and I think Kim will find this quite amusing because we have the same coach, but we had a coach at Southampton called Mick Cracknell, and Mick was a guy who really opened our eyes. Obviously we had Sue as our main manager, but Mick did a lot of the coaching on the weekdays, and he was very into like plyometrics and speed training and SAQ and stuff like that. And I think it was the first time that we really kind of saw the merge of both of them, whereas, you know, previously it was did you're running your pre-season stuff and then you came into football season, and they never really kind of merged together. And he was very much about being an athlete or building a footballer, and I just found that really interesting. I used to kind of pick his brains all the time and kind of had a conversation. I remember when I got into England youth and stuff, and I just told him, you know, why are we doing all of these things, and he was kind of ahead of that at that point. And then moving into the kind of England 23s, as it was, obviously that isn't as it is anymore, it's the 21s, but I had coaches like Brent Hills and I think Mo Marley took a couple of our sessions as well, and just kind of seeing them and their level of detail and the technical detail that they added into sessions was always kind of really inspiring. But that's from a point of view, and I think you learn from very, very good coaches, but then you also learn along the journey some of the bad coaches, and you learn things that you would do differently. And I think that's the same for everyone that experiences different coaches.
Yeah, some great names there in terms of Brent and Mo, in terms of the highest level and been around those people. I can understand where you're coming from the technical detail and everything. What about you, Kim?
I think for me, mine was even younger. I think mine was more PE teachers. When I was at school and college, it wasn't something that was on my mind. All my focus was on playing. And then it was when they introduced me into like the primary stuff, the after school clubs, and they took me onto there and they kind of threw me in the deep end and asked me to deliver to year ones. And just seeing how calm and collective some of the teachers can be with those 1 year olds, and even giving them certain detail as well. I think that at the beginning like inspired me to want to be that kind of leader. And then through my playing days, I think a lot of different coaches have inspired me, because there's been so many different types of coaches, and I've kind of like taken bits that I've liked and put it into my own coaching. I don't think there's probably one standout, but I think that from that start, that beginning, introducing that coaching, I think that's probably what inspired me the most. And they allowed me to do kind of like objective. I had one real teacher that wanted to push me when I was younger, and she gave me some like goals to work towards, and that's how I still work now. So still having that structure and how to deliver and stuff, I think that's probably inspired me the most and supported me with my coaching now.
And I think that's a great example there in terms of those. We shouldn't forget that while the technical and tactical is so important, some of those basic individual people skills are so important to connect with your players, and learning those skills as a young coach is crucial, and not always trying to fast track yourself to those high levels with teams is not something that's always going to get the best out of you in the future. So what made both of you apply for the A license? Obviously, you both did your B license a few years ago and everything and that. And what made you think, right, OK, I need to take this next step, and why? Kim?
I think the A license as a coach is always the aspiration to get to. I think it is always when we're doing the level one, level two, it was always the inspiration of the FA coach developer to inspire coaches to get to that. But for me personally, it's probably job wise that I wanted to do. I want to be full time within the women's game, and that's inspired me to do the A license. And I knew I needed to achieve that to be able to even to be considered, really. Also for my personal goals, I've always wanted to find out more information, learning, personal development. Also for me, there's a lot of coaches within the course, and me being quite what can I call it, observant and quite quiet introvert, going on to that course was a big thing for me, and I wanted to push myself a bit and challenge myself as well. So they're probably the reasons why I wanted to do it.
Okay, yeah, and we'll sort of delve into some of those things in a little while. But Charlotte, what was the reason for you going towards the A license?
I think there was a big gap between my level two and B license. The reason, you know, just availability of courses, right timing, that type of stuff. And I remember I actually got sponsorship to do my B license with a scheme that was running at the time, and that kind of lended itself into going into to B license, which I probably wouldn't have considered previously just because of timings and stuff like that. Did my B license, loved it, really found it kind of inspiring in terms of the detail that we went through. I had some really, really good course tutors, one of which was Ted Dale, who loved how to just kind of pick our brains and really throw in questions that people had to really think about and take a step back and kind of really question how they want to coach and how they saw things. And then it was Ted that said to me, would I consider doing my A license? And it was something that I really considered at that point. I was playing quite a bit. I was very busy, full-time PE teacher with some pastoral responsibilities and stuff like that. And he really kind of said to me, look, you should consider it. I know there's a lot of opportunities to support female coaches at the moment. The women's game's moving in that direction. You know, get on board with that rather than kind of standing back, waiting and let other people kind of go in front of you. And then I really considered it. It was the right timing. I was in a job that really supported me to do my A license and push me towards it. My at work was a licensed coach, so he knew the kind of benefits it would add to our program at work if I did get the A license. So I'm really glad I did and stepped in, and I love kind of learning new things. So I was kind of a student, really enjoyed that side of things.
Okay. But we know over the years there's been not always the best kind of promotion, of course, from a female perspective, is it, in terms of the way that maybe the course has supported female coaches going back a few years. Did you have any preconceived ideas of how you might be treated as women on the course? Kim?
I think previously I did the old courses, so I did the old UEFA B, and always being the only female on those types of courses, it didn't really bother me beforehand, even if I was going to be the only female on this course. I think I went through that barrier going on the B license and being the only female. I wasn't really fazed by it. So for the course, I didn't think I'd be treated any differently. I thought I was always treated really well throughout all the courses. So I didn't really have any reservations about it, really.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Charlotte?
Yeah.
I think maybe I had a kind of going into it. I started a lot of my coaching boys. I didn't actually coach female players until I did my B license. I spent 5 or 6 years coaching at school, and then district teams and county teams that were all boys. So I think I came into it in a very male environment previously, kind of had some interesting experiences with various coaches and stuff like that. So going in, I didn't really know what to expect. I kind of knew it was going to be very male, how to males coaches there was going to be, but also going in, I knew quite a few of the people. So myself and Kim are obviously on the same block, and we've known 16. So I think that was much easier for me to transition onto the course, knowing somebody already. As soon as you kind of get onto the course, you realise that it really was just kind of quite a relaxed course, and the group that we were with, we were very lucky. There was some very strong male coaches, but some lovely strong male coaches that have worked across both sides of the game, which I think helped quite a bit as well.
So there wasn't any intimidation on that or nerves going into that first day of how you might be sort of, accepted within the cohort? Charlotte?
I think there was a few nerves. I think me and Kim definitely had a conversation before going in. I think more, not so much nervous about the intimidation factor, more just nervous about the level of what the A license would entail and the workload associated to it, more so than the member of whoever on the course. That was more in my mind going in, and I think that kind of set the scene for actually it was a physically, mentally demanding course, and I think we were right to be nervous going in, but also you know, tutor at that point and stuff like that, which I think helps now looking back how lovely the tutors were when we got on the course and how welcoming they were to everybody.
Yeah, that was sort of going to be my next question really, Kim, for you, was how did the tutors make you feel? You know, did they help with that maybe, you know, nervousness of the levels and expectations? Did you feel welcome?
Yeah, 100%. So I remember the first activity, we had tutors that were allocated to a group, so you could get to know tutors on a personal level as well, which made it you much more relaxed. We had female tutors as well within the room, so if you didn't feel comfortable, you generally gravitate to those female tutors. That can happen, but yeah, I felt really relaxed. Like I said, it was more of the unknown. We didn't know what it's going to look like. I think that was more the worry than anything else.
Do you think the FA and us as tutors could have done more before the course to support not just female learners, but any of the learners coming into the course in terms of that first day nerves? Is there anything we could have done?
I think for me, where I did the old B license, I think everything was brand new going into the A license. I think that's the only thing, is kind of like a bridge in between. But I understand there's something in place at the moment. It's just to understand what the course looks like. So I think these podcasts and webinar I've done previously to about our journeys, I think it's going to help those coaches before going into those environments, which I think is really positive.
Yeah, and Kim, what you're talking about there is we currently have a program that we're calling the Aspiring A License course, which is specifically for the women's and girls game to help bridge that gap for coaches that have done their B license and are thinking of applying for the A license, or maybe have been unsuccessful in their first attempt for whatever reasons. That we're providing now support where we can work in small groups, very much like the tutor groups you're talking about on the course, where we can look at current topics, we can look at areas of the course, and hopefully build confidence and give people opportunities to see what some of the content might look like as they progress, and then hopefully eventually get on the course in future years. So Charlotte, thinking about sort of the content then, and thinking about the game that the two of you are in now in terms of the elite, we'll call it the elite end of the women's game. How much do you think the course provided you with the tools to support where you are now?
What it does is it gives you a real thinking prompts. It gives you things you need to think about going into training sessions, match days, deal with. I remember, I can't remember, Kim might remember, first or second, we had the national team coaches. I think it might have been first block, and it really was eye-opening. You kind of go in, you're thinking, what are all the different coaches that are making them so successful? What are they doing? And you want to know those answers. And actually, when we went in, we had national team coaches. It was very much a message of keep it really simple, have your game plan, keep it black and white. If this happens, you know, you respond by this way, and what can the opposition do to hurt you? And it's those type of questions. It wasn't this kind of, I don't know, PhD of football knowledge. It really wasn't. It was kind of like, what's your game plan and how do you set plan up? And it's those tools that I use now going into Brighton training, where you take it, you start off at 11v11, strip it right back and make sure the session looks like a real live session in a game. And whereas previously you probably take a generic session that you've seen and you go, oh yeah, I could do that. I think actually you go into your planning with questions in mind that you want answering, or you want your players to ask you so that you can come back and give them responses. Whereas previously it's very much, this is what I do and this is our game plan. Whereas I think I kind of came away with going, okay, what can they do, or what might you do here? And it was kind of more of what if questions. And I think that came off the course, having that knowledge and those questions asked of us when we were on the course, then helped us going into coaching to deliver that to our players.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great answer. And Kim, is there anything you want to add to that?
I think for me, it kind of gave me some sort of structure. It gave me something that I could work towards, but it wasn't the be end and end all that what Charles was saying. It was like a base, but we need to find out more about the game when we are in an environment. I think, I thought going on the A license, it would give me everything that I want to know, but it doesn't. It's just a starting block of finding out more. But yeah, it's given me a real structure and how I would deliver and what it would look like in my environment is definitely a key message from that course.
Yeah, no, some great points there. Do you think though, you know, and it's not a loaded question, do you think there was enough content linked to the women's and girls game on the course? And is there anything that we need to do better?
I definitely think it's a growing air. I think a lot of the females that will come off the course and say we did have content related to the girls game, there were aspects that were discussed, that an example even that went to the girls game, which was great. If ever we went for a bit, you see examples of the WSL, for example, if it was a physical session, we were looking at the demands that were placed on female players and male, and there were some links put into there. I think there's definitely an area that needs to develop, and I think it's something that all the tutors and coaches on the course are aware of it. We were always very capable of questions ourselves of the tutor, and so I would ask whether it was Pricey or Kelsey or even one of the male tutors, how would you think about this in the women's game? What are the differences? I think one of the key areas is that physical element. So I remember us on the first course talking about goalkeeper distribution and the areas in which you would distribute to if you had to go over a press, for example. And just little things like that are significant differences within the women's game and the distances on kicks that a women's goalkeeper can get from hand or from really influences how a team can play out. And it's just little things like that that I feel added in would really add value and more kind of make out room around the women's game. So if you're working like Kim in the ceilings, can you break out with other coaches who are on the course within the women's game to discuss, and then youth development coaches working together? And I think the more female or male coaches working within the female games who can break out together, the better that mix that can happen.
Yeah, no, some great points, and I'll add some context to that in a minute, but before we hear from Kim first.
Yeah, I think like Shah said, there was always female content within each section. So even with observations that we did within games, I think what really helped us was having those national coach developers that were looking in the female game in particular. I think we, like I said, we gravitated them and had conversations around the female game. And when we got split into those areas, it was the female game was always mentioned. So like I said, there are certain elements that will need a little bit of inklings here, like having more females maybe in the more practical side. We had we're lucky enough to have a female team within there and they delivered, but maybe having it more often. But like I said, from what I was for my B license, where nothing was spoken about in the women's game, to what it is, the A license, it's a massive improvement.
Yeah, and to give a little bit more context to people who can listen to this, it is obviously something now that, you know, it is looked upon as an equal game. And as you say, a lot of the content when we're reviewing videos, there will always be clips of, as you say, female international WSL connected to, you know, watching the Premier League or international men's football. And also guest speakers, that we're getting a blend of speakers now that are coming in from the senior women's game, from the performance teams as well, relating to the physical returns for international and senior WSL players as well. But likewise, you know, more and more what's happening as the game grows, there is now more content available. When we look back a few years ago, we were very limited on video content and things that could be used at the highest level, not because that the game wasn't technical or tactical enough. There just wasn't the opportunities from TV screening and stuff to actually bring that into the game. But one of the key elements of the roles that we play as national coach developers is to make sure that the content and the stuff that's going on courses is linked to both the men's and the women's game. And it has made huge strides, and the guys that coordinate the courses are fully aware, and the tutors, the FAYCDs that work predominantly in the boys academies are now brilliant, because they're starting to understand, they know who the female players are, they know and understand that there are physical differences that can impact, as you said, Charlotte, you know, how far the goalkeeper can kick the ball and what that might mean, and the conversations have become so much more rich in relation to both parts of the game. So you're right, that there's always going to be things that we're working on and things that we're improving on, but the strides have been massive. And I think that's one thing to say to people that are striving to get on the course as female coaches within the female game, is that there will be content that you can relate to. So looking back on the course, I mean, you managed 18 days, I think, residential before COVID hit. You were lucky to sort of have that full face-to-face experience. What then, if you had to take one thing from the residential days, what would be your big takeaway that you'd share with female coaches aspiring to get on the course? Kim?
I think the main thing is to do is keep working, don't be stagnant. I think that's one of the main things I took away is even if you don't go in a course, like, don't think that's the end, because I think there's so much content out there that you can develop yourself ready for the course. When you are on the course, just take as much information as possible, write everything down, take those key moments down. And I remember the first couple 3 days, because we went together in the car, and we just stared, I think, outside the window for 2 hours, and we didn't talk because we're just reflecting and just trying to digest the information. So when you do get on that course, make sure that you're fully attendance and you're really opening your eyes and being open to what's been delivered. I think that's the main one.
Charlotte, before I come to you, that word of self-reflection and taking time to take it all in is quite mind-blowing in terms of having 3 days, because it's not just the stuff that you talk about with tutors, is it? It's those moments in the dining room or walk into rooms where you get to interact with people that some of the best conversations actually happen.
Yeah, it was good. We had like a small group that used to always meet in the auditorium, and we just chat for 2-3 hours before we went to bed, just about the day, about our environments, and yeah, like you said, they're the best conversations to have.
Was that code for bar auditorium?
What are you talking about?
Charlotte, what do you think?
100% agree. They are extremely full on days. I think there's no way of putting that. They are mentally, physically. I mean, I did a lot of the physical side of things as well, and that was through choice. I much prefer learning playing, and whereas you've got to have yourself a good friend like Kim who does excellent notes, because even now, you know, we've the female coaches from our particular block have all got a group chat, and I can't count on how many times we put in our group chat, does anyone have the notes from this day or this session, because it's so helpful for us to go back and have a look at those notes. And lucky for me, while I was running around, Kim was making some excellent notes for us to use. But I think 100% the best times that I had on the course, and I looked forward to every single block, was having conversations for a while in the classroom. I remember sitting for hours talking to Matt and to Paul and to people like that, and just picking their brains and getting in early just to be like, you know, about this and you know, what would you do in this situation. I think that's the biggest thing that happens. You don't get that opportunity to be in a classroom with such experience like, but also coaches that are in completely different settings. I mean, we were sat on a table with someone, a Wolves technical coach, someone who works full-time at Everton, and me and Kim are working part-time within the women's game. So you just pick up so many bits of information and go away and have a week or so where you don't really look at the notes and just digest, and then go back to them and be like, right, how can I apply some of these principles into what I'm doing with my day-to-day stuff with Brighton?
I suppose that ties in nicely to my next question, because obviously the residential part is one part of the course, but actually beyond the days, it's the in-situ visits and the support that you're getting in clubs. How did that make you feel? How did the sort of in-situ visits make you feel as a coach? Be nice, Charlotte.
You are my tutor, so I look back on the very first visit and you are super nervous. The only thing I can compare is like a day abroad, you know. Teachers will kind of relate to that, when you feel like you need to put on the best session, be prepared. You're this person going to be here, how many players have I got, what pitch have I got, have I got the goalkeepers, and all sorts of things, and you're pretty nervous about it. And then going into the kind of last visits that you came in, I remember just it kind of went from having one or two things to focus on each session to right at the end where it's like, right, where can I challenge you, where can I push you even further. And I remember kind of thinking it maybe this the fifth visit, oh, I'm all right here, like I feel like I've done quite well. And then it's up in gear and you were like, actually I want you to focus on this and this, which wasn't previously kind of mentioned, but I understand that it was, let's step you up a gear and let's push you next. And it got to a point where we'd seen each other and spoken to each other so much that it became a really relaxed environment where you could push areas of development further, kind of that you were doing that, whereas that first kind of experience where you feel like someone's really judging you, it became that kind of relationship.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, isn't it? Is that what coaches need to be aware of, is that we're not walking in to see the perfect session on day 1, 2, and we could have a debate all day long about what is the perfect session, but it's actually how do we just get the best out of the players with the environment and the facilities we have, and not worry about someone judging you, because the in-situ visits aren't about judging, it's about supporting it. And then, as you said there, Charlotte, about challenging you to be the best version of yourself and pushing you to think about yourself even more. Was that same for you, Kim?
Yeah, definitely. That first day was horrible, because you always thought it was a checklist, didn't you, beforehand? It was like being assessed, that kind of thing. But then I think over the time I met with Amy, and we had like conversations before training about general stuff before we spoke about the football area, which made me feel more and more comfortable. But she always challenged me. Every session she challenged me and pushed me as far as she could. But towards the end, I did become more relaxed and probably more myself as well. I think that's one of the main things, is just being yourself. I think when an assessor or someone coming in, you always try and be what they think you should be. And that's one of the things that I definitely made sure that towards the end, I was definitely myself and delivering and being happy with being watched. And to this day, we still have conversations and she still challenges me and still wants to come in and watch. So I've got a really good relationship and built a really good relationship with my tutor and my mentor.
And how would you say, obviously, Kim, you've moved into a new environment now at Crawley, but it was Chichester, wasn't it, before that you were coaching at? How would you say that the people around you supported you, or what would you want for future coaches to have from their assistants or their multidisciplinary team to help you in this sort of journey on the A licence?
I think at Chichester, I had a manager who wanted to manage people, and that was her main strength. And then my main strength was the coaching aspect. And I think the main thing is to making sure you're working together and don't take everything on yourself. I think that's something that I've learned, especially within my new environment, when so much is happening. You've got to make sure that you have the trust within your group and making sure you can delegate as well. I think that's something new that I need to take on board. Now I'm in my new role, but I think that's the main important, is trust people with and to deliver, not just you, not just the same voice, and supporting them as well, because not all the times they feel a bit pressured that they have to deliver because they've got an A license, which I don't think's the way at Chichester. We all supported each other, and within my new role, that's something differently I'm going to go forward with, and making sure that I don't take it all and everyone has their roles, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point about delegating and using the people around you. Is something that, just because you become an A-licensed coach, doesn't mean that you have to do everything yourself and everyone expects you to do everything. It's a crucial part of managing and working within a team. How was it for you, Charlotte? Because obviously you're more in a developmental phase and working within the RTC, and you had a technical director and you had another coach and other people around you. How was that experience for you working with them?
I think it was a really how it kind of progressed and where it got to from where it started. Yeah, you know, like you said, we had a kind of stand-in technical director at the time, and I think they were learning their new role, which was difficult for them to then going through my A license when they're still armed and deal with their own questions around the role. As then kind of progressed and really kicked on when we hired Perry as technical director, because he's somebody that's been through his A license. He's also somebody that's almost one of the highest levels in women's game and beach soccer and stuff like that. So it really kicked on. He then challenged me to work with the multidisciplinary team and how can we connect, whereas I was always very in the mind for that, and he kind of really pushed me to work within the team, and that's something that is still in, something that's improved from that journey, and that support system that we kind of created around that A license.
Yeah, and I think that's important for anyone that's in the pathway within the RTCs, is exactly that, to make sure on this journey that your technical director and your assistant or your whoever it is that is in and around you with your age group that are totally connected with you for this journey as well, because it does involve all of them. Although it's your qualification, you can't get away from the fact that you're going to have to work on certain things, and feedback for them is just as important as it is from your institute tutor. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the better the relationship you have with the team around you, the more support, what more kind of, I'd say moral support is on the grass, but moral support around you, it's so much easier. It makes your life so much easier. And come from it and you think that you've done something that could have been better, and actually you've got somebody else with a different lens looking at it. And I remember having conversations with Perry where he saw something completely different to how things, and it was just really nice having those conversations after the session, maybe the day later. Whereas when it's difficult to really assess what had happened in the sessions that had gone on.
Mm. So how, just thinking about this sort of journey now, you know, both of you have qualified, both of you have moved on from sort of formal qualifications in terms of the A license. How did the course impact you in terms of your future learning now beyond the course? Has it made you think about things in a different way, Kim?
I think for me, it's when you get that, when you get told you passed your A license, you're like on top of the world, really. And then a couple of months later, you're like, okay, what's next? In my head, that's what I'm like. So I'm like, right, what can I do to have more knowledge to support my further learning? And for me, I looked at a university degree within football, so I never wanted to stop learning. And I think going into other environments, other coaches, and like WSL, can I go in and have a watch and stuff like that? So for me, I didn't want to stop learning. I didn't think it was the end. But you can imagine, like, after passing, you kind of do question yourself on what's next if you can't do the pro license. So it's just having that kind of plan of what you're going to do to keep your learning going.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the good thing, you know, for those, first of all, aspiring to get towards the A license, we do have the high performance centres that are spread around the country that can support with CPD and workshops and, you know, one-to-one support as well. And likewise, I mean, I know both of you are still obviously connected in with your national coach developer, which is something that, again, you know, that work that works beyond, between qualifications or beyond the A license, is something that's still there for coaches. And as you said, Kim, finding different ways to learn stuff and going into different environments is something that, you know, coaches should see, whatever level they're at, to be as important as the formal qualifications. What about you, Charlotte?
I think my license, actually, I was kind of really in a position where I wanted a little bit of a rest from a lot of the kind of football side of things. I think me and Kim actually kind of got signed off around that COVID break.
Mm.
The time when everything went online, every Zoom, and I just chucked myself into everything and watched all of the stuff on the FA. I was into my high performance area. Still am to a certain extent, but actually I got to a point where I just wanted to have a moment with, you know, myself, my qualification, where I just looked back and I went, wow, hour and a half, actually just enjoy coaching and enjoy the environment I was in. It isn't until the last couple of months where I've really started going, do you know what's next now? And I'm really fortunate that I'm in an opportunity where I work with some great staff and coaches every single day. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any let up working alongside Amy, those type of coaches, really the club forward. So I'm in a position where I really develop as a coach, but just to be kind to yourself and not have to throw yourself into everything. And that's really when I came off the back of my A license. I just wanted to cement what I was doing now and perfect the areas that I was doing. And then feel ready to take that next step and to push myself further. Whereas previously, you just kind of go over a hurdle and you keep going. You don't give your opportunity to relearn what you learn.
Yeah. So a period of consolidation, self-reflection, just reviewing all of the things that you would have worked on throughout the period of time that you were on the qualification. and then just using the people around you as soundboards to make sure you're still progressing. Would that be a good summary of what the two of you have said?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's definitely important.
Just thinking then about then, as we come near the end of this, what would you say then, what advice would you give to female coaches that are thinking of applying for the UEFA license? And what would be any of the key messages that you'd share? Kim?
I think for me, it was like, I don't think you'll ever think you're going to be ready for the A license.
Yeah.
I think... For me, I'd never thought, oh, am I good enough to go for it now? Am I good enough to go to it? And you just need to be brave, I think. Just be brave. If you don't get on, there's so many people now to support you, to try and get you to where you want to be. Like I said, so many CPDs, so many high performance areas and workshops and stuff. So I think the main message for me is just be brave.
Mm. Yeah, no, good. It's a great word. I think that's something that we do need to encourage more female coaches to not be intimidated, to be brave. It's not as scary as people think it is. And as you said, you know, with everything you've spoken about both of you today around the tutors and the environment and everything at St George's Park, just makes it feel like one game now, rather than it being the women's and girls and the boys game. There is not a separation as much as there maybe have been a few years ago. Charlotte, what about you?
With Kim, 100%, you don't think that you're ready to be in the room with those type of coaches and that level, but actually go for it. It's the biggest learning that has happened on my coaching and playing journey. I get 100% that I've done since, you know, at all, going forward into the A license. It really helped give me the confidence, but also be nice. You know, don't put a huge expectation on you as a coach, because everybody says, oh, you're on your A line, be this, or you'd be doing this and try new things. And I remember in between each block, I really wanted to try and embed the stuff that I've learned from the previous block. So try new things and do things slightly differently than what you've done previously, because when you come away from the A license, you want to have developed as a coach. And if you kind of always try the same, you know, you do the same things, you're never really going to develop. And that's why I really enjoyed some of the. Me and you had conversations on, because you were like, why don't you use it, or why don't you work with the strength and conditioning team and do it slightly differently? And it's those areas that now I look back on my coaching journey.
I think that's a great way to end. Both of you, really appreciate your time this morning to talk about your journey towards and on the UEFA A license, and in different ways. I wish you both the best of luck, Kim, obviously with a new season coming up, and Charlotte, getting back on your feet and getting playing and back coaching with the RTC in a few weeks' time. So thank you very much for your time, both of you.
Cheers very much.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. Thank you.